Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the billboard.com pop shop podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me as always is Billboard deputy editor digital Katie Atkinson. Hello, Katie.
Hi there. Coming up today on the show, we have a little must-hear music
with
Billboard Deputy Editor Digital, Joe Lynch.
As always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop. That's P-O-P on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we've got must-hear music. Joe and the team will be chatting about their thoughts on Lorde's new album, Melodrama, and much more. So stick around for that in just a moment.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode. And give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, you can always tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or at KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, and why the heck would you not want to? Or would you not want to? Or would you want to? I think that you get the idea. Visit iTunes.com/billboardpodcasts. Now that I've mangled that, let's move on to the important part of the show. Katie, Melodrama is Lorde's sophomore album. And this may sound a bit weird, but do you have any favorite sophomore albums?
I do. I feel like the sophomore slump is sort of a myth, really, when you look at a lot of great bands in the past. But one of my favorite albums of all time, and my favorite album by this band, is Pinkerton by Weezer, which is their second album.
Oh.
And the band themselves at the time were not super pleased with the album and the reception to the album, but now historically look back on it fondly, and the fandom is obsessed with it. It just wasn't a huge commercial success after the Blue Album.
Was there like any hits at all on Pinkerton?
Not really. I mean, they had El Scorcho and Good Life, which were ones that got played. And what
the
else?
Sweater Song?
No, that was on Blue Album.
Never mind.
They got some play on MTV, but not really radio play like they had on their. Oh, wait, am I missing something big? No, everything that I'm thinking of is on the Blue Album. All their big early hits.
Wow.
Yeah. How about you, Keith?
Well, I was actually having a hard time with this because I was thinking, you know, I immediately thought of Madonna because Madonna's my go-to. But as much as I love Like a Virgin, which is her second album, like I actually kind of like some of her later albums more. And I did want to say, oh, it's like a favorite. So I'm like, And then I was thinking, like, what about Stevie Wonder or Prince? I'm like, well, actually, they kind of like got the ball rolling a little bit farther into their career. So I ended up picking a personal favorite of mine, Duran Duran's Rio, which was their second album. It's hands down a classic. It's got the title track. It has Hunger Like the Wolf, Save a Prayer, Hold Back the Rain, just tons and tons of great, great songs, and it's just a really great album. It holds together really well, and it still just sounds great today.
Well, I'd say we should check in with the Must Hear Music team and see if Lorde's sophomore album is just as good.
Hello, welcome to the Must Hear Music podcast. My name is Joe Lynch, and I'm sitting here with Lindsay Havens.
Hello.
And Jason Lipschitz.
What's up, man?
Hey, guys. So let's talk about the week's... Let's start off with the week's big release, Lorde's Melodrama.
Ooh,
And Jason, you just saw her play an intimate New York show,
right? I did, yeah. She played Bowery Ballroom.
And how was that? Lovely.
It was great. It was an awesome show. I love seeing Lorde live. Mm-hmm. And,
did she only do the new album or old stuff?
No, too? She did every song on the... I think she did 9 out of the 11 songs on the new album. And then I think she did probably 4 old ones. So, yeah.
Cool.
It flew by. I think she only played for like an hour, but yeah, it was amazing. She did Writer in the Dark at the end with no microphone. She just shushed everybody in the entire crowd.
Wow.
And sang it without a mic. It was great.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was very, very cool.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so the album Melodrama, I mean, I don't know how much background we really need to give on Laura. She had, she had an enormous hit with
She's
Royals
from New Zealand.
4 years ago. She's from New Zealand. Broke out as a teenager. Now she is 20, right?
She's 20.
This is her sophomore album. The first one was made with Joel Little. This one is made primarily with Jack Antonoff.
Yep.
There's a little bit of his sonic footprint on it, but I think, I love this album, and I think what makes it work is 100% her. It's her voice and the detail in her songwriting, and the fact that it's a pop album. We were kind of talking about this in the office, but there's kind of like a rise in like alt pop, and this is definitely like, it falls into the pop category, but... The construction of it is very albumy. Like the songs aren't contained songs; they kind of seep into like different motifs that tend to recur. It's weird, it's weird for a pop star to put out an album that's an album, really. Yeah. Like there are very like obviously Green Light's a single, but it's not a typical pop single, and very little on the album comes across that way. Like I don't think there's anything on it you would listen to and think, well, this is a clear top 10. But the highlight for me is the Louvre, definitely. I think. It just has like I love midway through it's kind of like a synth. It starts out with like heavy bass synths that seem to kind of be coming through almost the synths sound like they're coming through like busted speakers, like you blew them out because you were playing it too loud and the synths are coming through the broken speakers. Then they cut out and there's this beautiful like ringing guitar just in this very like open space. And then it goes into this kind of like atmospheric, almost like Flaming Lipsy. And the lyrics are just like the first lyric is incredible. It's "Well, summer slipped us underneath her tongue," just is one of those great phrases.
Yeah.
And there's another great lyric that I really liked where she's talking about like this couple, her and this other person, how they're beautiful and how they end up in the Louvre because they're so beautiful together. And then she adds in an aside, "We're down in the back," as in back of the Louvre, but who cares? Still the Louvre. Mm-hmm. And that also really struck me as a very Taylor Swiftian line. Just kind of like
I think Ann Powers also compared a lot of the album to Taylor Swift.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Ann Powers, but I haven't read her take on it.
She at least posted about it on Facebook. I don't know if she wrote it, but...
Were you Facebook friends with her?
I just follow her.
Wow.
But Ann, if you're listening,
but
I
yeah, the songwriting detail is very Swiftian, which is a great thing because I think, personally, Taylor Swift is like the best pop songwriter we have of this generation. But anyways, I've babbled about it enough. What do you guys think of either the song The Louvre or just the album as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Lorde and her songwriting. Pure Heroine is just an album that I think is so worth returning to because it's just really, obviously I like the production, but it's all about the writing. It's all about the turns of phrase and kind of the persona she presents on that album. And obviously she's grown up and it's been 4 years. And what Melodrama does to me is explore these different themes of heartbreak and loneliness and figuring out where you are at a party. And it's very specific, in a lot of different places, but it's also very universal. And yeah, I love, there are just moments that really stand out to me. Like I remember like hearing that beat drop on Sober 2, which it's just which is one of my favorite parts, and Supercut I just think is is such a strong, like, kind of pop, like, ode to those kind of fleeting moments that you put together when a relationship ends.
Yeah, it's a lot of great imagery too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still kind of digging into it, but I feel like at this point, look, she may not have another big hit ever. She certainly doesn't have a big hit on this album yet, but I think that she's the type of artist that is going to be around for a while, and a lot of people, I'm just, like, more than anything, I'm really happy that people are appreciating this album and her, because, like, I was such a huge fan of the last album, but it seemed so focused on Royals, and understandably so, that kind of, you know, the first album didn't get the type of acclaim that I thought it deserved, but it seems like this album is kind of making up for that. So it's great.
What do you think, Linz?
Well, I would say Writer in the Dark is probably my favorite. I also still love Liability. That song is, the writing, everything about it is very incredible to me. And I will say, because the songwriting is a lot to digest there, it really helped to see her live. I'm sure she didn't have the big production when she did the small show.
No. Yeah, but she did it. I saw her at Bonnaroo last weekend. And yeah, it was the same kind of thing. So
right, like that, like, clear box.
Yeah, well, apparently it was different between Governor's Ball and Bonnaroo. She did have, like...
Oh, interesting, because it was the same at Coachella.
Yeah, she had choreography, but not the box. I heard about the box, but yes. I did not experience the box.
Well, it definitely helped contextualize the album and, like, the themes that you mentioned of, like, figuring out your place at a party and all of that, so that was helpful for me, at least. But yeah, still digging in.
So you haven't, like, come to your consensus on the record
yet. I mean, I definitely love it. I just think that there's a lot I'm probably missing, because the lyrics are, like, every line almost is something to smirk about, it feels like.
Yeah.
So.
And you're a smirker. You love a good smirker. Smirk.
Oh, yeah.
all right.
Well, how many days have we walked into this office and said, "What you smirking about, Linz?"
Right.
Every day. Every single day since I started.
All right, well, let's listen to some of it. So let's listen to the song I was talking about, The Louvre from Lorde's Melodrama. I get caught up just for a minute. But lover, you're the one to blame. All that you're doing, can you hear the violence? Make a phone to my chest. All right, that was New Lorde. Next up, we're going to do a Lindsay pick. We have SZA from her debut album, Control, spelled CTRL. And the song you picked is Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, I love this song.
I love it too. And more importantly, so I love Drew Barrymore. So
does SZA.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I was reading about why she picked Drew Barrymore of all people, and she was just saying, like, she's quirky and fun and never really tried to fit any mold, and that definitely is who SZA is, I think. But this song in particular, like, I've listened to the album all the way through a bunch, and this one stands out to me by far, just because, like, the woman enough for you, you know? Like, the little play there, it's really catchy, and it gets stuck in my head, and I can relate, you know?
Yeah. Well, what do you think about the, like, the lyrics, or what do you relate to?
Well, aside from what I just said, I'm trying to think about the lyrics now. I don't know. It stands out from all the other songs on the album to me. It's, like, a little more slower and subdued. And yeah, I honestly, I know she had a couple EPs out before this, and I'd never listened to them. I didn't really know who SZA was.
Ooh, you gotta check out
the
EPs.
I know, so now I sort of have to backtrack because I'm really into this album. So...
Yeah, I think it's great. And we did a great thing in the magazine, which I think you edited, Jason.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, John Kennedy. Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, John Kennedy. Hung out with SZA the day before the album came out, and it's been cool. It's kind of along the lines of Melodrama. It's been cool to see, you know, the kind of acclaim this album has earned over the past couple weeks, especially because there's been so many delays, and, you know, she threatened to leak the album or told Punch from TDE to just put it out. She didn't really care anymore. And to see everything kind of have a happy ending. I mean, she seems kind of like a star now, which is great.
Acclaimed. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but it debuted in the top five of the Billboard 200, which is, you know, it shows that there's an audience for SZA. And, the album is across the board really monumental. And I think that, Drew Barrymore is just, I wouldn't even call it like one of my favorite tracks, but I think that it kind of speaks to the heart of the album, where you get this immediate sense of her personality and, mm-hmm. and the sound of the album.
What is your favorite track?
Oh, man. I don't know. I'm going to have to come back on that.
Okay.
I would call this my favorite track. So, yeah. So okay. Good pick.
Phew.
Yeah.
What is your kind of on the spot as well? What is your respective favorite Drew Barrymore films?
I don't know if this is my favorite, but the first one that comes to mind is Fever Pitch. I've seen that movie an absurd amount of times.
Wow.
Fever Pitch, really?
Yeah.
That's an interesting one.
I know. I'm going to regret saying that probably.
What about you, Joe?
Never Been Kissed is the first one that comes to mind.
That's what I was going
to say. But I want to just quick look through her. Well, here, I'm going to talk about.
The Weeknd.
Talk about actually the song.
While you do that, my favorite's The Weeknd.
Oh, okay.
I forgot about that one. Yeah.
I do like that.
I think, yeah, this. What I really like about this, I mean, one, it's just a great album, and she has a really interesting voice. And I think we have a video interview with her on the site where she's just really just an iconoclastic person. Like, she mm-hmm. just is full of ideas and says whatever she's thinking and is very thoughtful and to her, you know, true to herself. But what I like about it is that this is kind of music in a lot of ways that we, you know, like alt R&B has been like gaining a lot of momentum, and this certainly falls into that kind of like indie R&B category, you know, the kind of old school horns with the very reverby guitar plucking on this song are definitely kind of like the indie version of R&B. But what I love about her voice is that usually when you kind of get the alt R&B, those singers have tended to be very like breathy and fragile, and her voice is like, it's beautiful, but it's borderline raw, and there's mm-hmm. a lot of like heft to it. Like, it's not a fragile voice, it's very strong, and I think that like vocally and lyrically, those like the strength is just something that really stands out about her.
Borderline raw, the Joe Lynch story.
Oh my god, yeah. But looking at Drew Barrymore's filmography, oh, I forgot she was in Donnie Darko. I love Donnie Darko.
Oh,
I mean,
me
I know
too.
That's not like
that's
movie.
Not a Drew Barrymore.
I'm just
movie.
That's a great movie.
I love that one. But yeah, I'd probably go Never Been Kissed. I would say is a good one. You know, I mean, Ever After, sure, of course, Scream. But you know, these are all classics.
Angelica Houston is good in Ever After.
50 First Dates.
Oh, I love 50 First.
I
no,
hate
you're
that movie.
You're all wrong.
It was so bad.
50 First Dates is awful. Incredible movie.
Really
miserable.
Oh my
pointless.
God.
Yeah.
You guys couldn't be more wrong about that. Must Hear Music fans, if you like 50 First Dates, please tweet Joe and Lindsay. Don't tweet me that you like it.
Awesome though that she directed and starred. Well, she was in it. She didn't star in it, but it was Whip It. Did you see that? Ellen Page starred in it.
I never did.
The roller skating,
like
competitive rollerblading.
Yeah, roller
movie. It was so good. You should definitely
yeah,
see it.
Good.
It's really good. Anyways, all right, let's listen to
movies.
Yeah, we should do that. Let's listen to SZA. So if you're not familiar, it's spelled SZA, all caps. SZA, Drew Barrymore. All right, that was new SZA, and next, and certainly not least, we have a Jason
pick. Oh,
yeah. The song's called Next to Me, and it is from Marlene, or
yes.
Marlena, am I?
Marlene.
Okay.
Don't
yeah.
look fancy.
I don't really have, I mean, I picked this song because it's just an awesome pop song. Marlene is a Swedish artist. She just put out...
As her, all pop artists are.
Yeah, of course. Of course. She just put out her second EP, I think 2 weeks ago or so. And the whole EP is really good. It's actually 8 songs, which I think is just like an album. But
yeah.
They're calling it an EP. That's fine. Cool. More Marlene to
more
listen to.
Marlene.
More Marlene. But yeah, Next to Me is the single. I think a friend of mine passed me this song. And I just have been listening to it nonstop for the past couple weeks. Like, I listened to this song more than almost any song over the past month. And, yeah, it's just beautiful and kind of speaks to, you know, the first romance kind of thing where, you know, somewhat like infatuation and kind of stumbling into getting to know someone. And, yeah, it's just, like, very cute and in a way that, like, it really hits the mark with just being effervescent and bubbly and all those kind of things that you feel when you're starting out a relationship. Yeah, she's got a great voice, and I think just the whole vibe of the instrumental as well as the chorus, it just really speaks to me. So yeah, Marlene, let's go.
Let's go, Marlene.
I should also add, I spoke to Marlene on the phone yesterday for an interview that will be on Billboard.com. She was in Stockholm when I called. So
that's a city.
Shout out to Marlene.
That's riveting. What else did she talk about?
Wow.
She talked about Stockholm. She talked about singing.
Singing in Stockholm.
Wow. I am getting torched on the Must Hear Music podcast. I don't care. Listen to Marlene's next to me, even if you torch me while doing it.
I thought it was good. You were playing this the other day, sans headphones at the office, and I said, what's that? Turn down that rat. And then I was like, hey, this is pretty good.
Hey, wait a minute.
No, I do like it. I was listening to it a few times today to kind of have actual professional thoughts about it. And it kind of reminds me of the music, the kind of music that Solange did with Dev Hynes.
Oh, that's a great point. Years ago. Yeah.
It has that kind of, that same very beauty, kind of like slinky bounce to
very
it.
Very summery.
Yeah, very summery, yeah. It's great. No, it really, yeah. And it's very, very catchy. I would heartily endorse
that
this too.
Wow. All right.
What do you think, Lindsay?
I don't love it.
It's no local natives, as
no
they
local
say.
Natives. It's no Portugal Jack White, the man. Let me tell you. Yes, all my favorite bands. it was good. I mean, it definitely is catchy. It has a summer vibe, like disco pop production almost at points. I listened to it twice. And then I had to run here.
That was enough for you.
Yeah, actually, but I was listening on YouTube, and then her song, what is it, Sweet? Does she have a song called Sweet? That came on after, and I actually think I might like that song a little more.
I think that's on the new EP. Yeah.
Yeah, so I could be a Marlene fan. All TBD.
Right. Yeah. We could all be.
All right. Well, let's listen to it. So this half, two-thirds acclaimed pop jam, Marlene's Next to Me. To be with you, but we're trying to take the time we need. I don't have a chance to miss you when you're always right here. I know it's hard to say you want me, because we got more to figure out. All right. That was Marlene, and that's a quick one from us, because I think we're going to get kicked out of this room in a second. But coming
a little behind the curtain there, right there.
Yeah, exactly. We're a podcast crew on the run. Next one, I think we're going to talk about special. Well, it's not special edition, whatever they're calling it. Purple Rain, they're re-releasing with a ton of previously unreleased materials. So I think Purple Rain is one of my all-time favorite albums. I think we'll talk about that a little bit.
All right.
And in the unreleased material realm, you have to be excited that White Stripes' Icky Thump is coming out. That is exciting because the Stripes, they never really shared a lot of like behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah,
so,
not at all.
So you must be like a... Well, I was going to say kid in a candy store, but that's a cliche.
That is a cliche. I was going to think of a pun, but I can't.
Yeah. How many copies of Jack White's Third Man Records book do you have now?
I have two. But I will get more.
Yeah. We got to get Dan. We got to get Dan for the Prince.
We should. Yeah.
He'll have many thoughts.
Yeah. Dan Rice, our biz man, does love Prince too. But yeah. So is there anything else coming up that you guys are excited about?
Tune in next week to find out.
Excellent tease.
Nice tease there. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Tweet any song of the summer recs. You have
favorite
at
Drew
us.
Barrymore movies.
Favorite Drew Barrymore movies. Give
tweet
us a heads
at Joe
up.
And Lindsay about 50 First Dates. I can't believe you guys don't like that movie. It's so good.
Sucks. It's terrible.
Oh my God.
I saw it in theaters and really considered walking out.
Really?
I mean,
there's
maybe
so many worse movies.
I love that the Cars song Drive is in it because I love that song. But that was
but otherwise.
It.
You didn't tear up at the end?
No.
I definitely teared up at the end.
Heart of Gold. I mean glass. I mean stone. What? I don't know what I'm talking about.
Turn off his mic.
All great songs. okay. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
We'll catch you next time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time. No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.